Muy buenos días, amados hermanos y amigos presentes aquí en Monterrey.
Good morning, beloved brethren and friends present here in Monterrey, Nuevo León, Mexico, in the congregation pastored by Reverend Epifanio López, and also there in Calle, Puerto Rico, and all places that are connected through the satellite Amazonas and the satellite Eutelsat 8 in the different countries. And warm greetings to the missionary Miguel Bermudez Marin as well. May God also continue to bless him greatly and mightily. For this occasion, our subject is Once More, Lord. My wife Sarah is accompanying me and my sons-in-law. And also the rest who are here from other countries, you are also very welcome. May God bless you greatly. Today, Sunday, September 28th of this year, 2025, let us read in Judges, chapter 16. That was the occasion in which Samson asked once more. He was going to do something there once more. Chapter 16, verse 23. I have the study here also. He wrote down some notes there in the scripture. It says, "Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their god, and to rejoice. For they said, Our God had delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand." Here in the Bible study, he draws a cornerstone and the ages, and he writes 8 in the cornerstone and 7 in the seventh age. And on the right on that verse 23, he writes, "Pagan god of idolatry, that is Dagon. And when the people saw him, they praised their god, for they said, Our God had delivered unto our hands our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass, when their heart were merry, that they said, Call for Samson, that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand," here in the Bible he writes, "Lad, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them." There he writes, pillars. And here in the Bible study he writes, there on those verses on the left, the pillars upon which Babylonian religion stands, where the Antichrist comes forth from. The pillars upon which the Babylonian religion stands, where the Antichrist comes forth from. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And they were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and straighten me, I pray thee only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and of the other with his left. And Samson said, Let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down, and took him, and brought him up, and buried him between Sora and Ethol, in the burying place of Manoah his father. And he judged Israel 20 years. Once more, Lord. You may please be seated. In this message that he preached, also titled Once More, look, he tells us there, well, let me see around here if I can find a place where we can see the angel that accompanied Brother Branham. Now, notice that he was accompanied by the pillar of fire and the angel. Of course, that was Gabriel. Now, the pillar of fire was always with the angel, wherever the angel was and wherever his prophet was. But what happened? The pillar of fire went somewhere else. It went to another place. So imagine who was in that other place. He is speaking, telling, which a bit further on, he's going to say which quote. But let's have it open there. Quote 103. Now he says, the pillar of fire went somewhere else. It went to another place. So imagine who was in that other place. Imagine who had stood up, because it was time to stand. It was time for the one who stand, for the people of Israel to stand. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. Now, if it went to that place, notice, who was there that day? Let's take a look here in Daniel. At that time shall, who? Michael stand up. On chapter 12, verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. Now, who is the one that stood up? Michael, that mighty archangel. Now he shows us here that that pillar of fire went to that place where the one who stood up was. Let me see here, page 14 and 15. I don't want to take too long. Page 14, paragraph 103 says, and he begins to read the 10th vision. And in a part here, when he is then about halfway, more or less about halfway, it says. Notice close. There is a difference between the angel of the Lord and that light. A bit further down, therein there is a difference here in the book of quotations. He writes, difference. And on the left, upward, he writes, the angel of the Lord. And he also writes, the pillar of fire equals Jesus Logos. There is a difference between the angel of the Lord and that light, because I heard something moving, as it does when it comes here at the platform at night, kind of like a something like that. See how it sounds? You know how the wind sounds. And like a fire whipping around, leaking blaze. And he left me. Who? The light. Brother William says, who? The light. The light left him. And it left me. And it went right down over the top of that audience and went and stood over the top of that little building. Then settled down on top of it. Now notice, let us turn for a moment to the message, questions and answers, on page 14. On this message, they ask him, page 14. Page 14, 385 says, Brother Branham, what is the difference, if any, between the angel of the Lord and the Lord himself? He writes on the side, the angel of the Lord. And Brother Branham says, the angel of the Lord is a messenger from the Lord, and the Lord himself is that person. Not the person of the angel from the Lord. Let me show you. Earthly speaking hears an angel of the Lord. Earthly speaking hears an angel from the Lord. Earthly speaking hears the angel from the Lord. How do we know then that they are angels from the Lord? When they bring the word of the Lord. But when they try to pervert it, it's not from the Lord then, see? They try to make it something it doesn't. Say. Just say whatever. Then there is a supernatural angel comes down from the Lord. A messenger like Gabriel and Michael. Woodworm. Revelation 8:11. And so forth their names. Now he goes on to say here. He continues reading. And then when it did, this one that was standing by me, and Brother William says, the one who was with him, that archangel, behind me, the same voice, the angel's voice, he said, I'll meet you in there. And this is the third pool. But nobody will know nothing about it. And I said, well, I don't understand. Why in there? Why there? He said, it will not be a public show this time. And I said, I don't understand going into that closet like that. Brother William says, I don't understand going into that closet like that. Into that little room, I don't understand. And he goes on to say, and he said, is not it written by the Lord, when thou prayest, be not like hypocrites who like to be heard before man? But enter into thy secret closet, and pray to the Father who seeth in secret. And he who seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. It's perfectly to the Scripture. Every time it is. And I said, I understand. Brother William says, now he does understand. Now he did understand. Then he took me to this place, and set me down in this room where I was at. And then he told me what to do for the third time. Now, Christian friends, that will, when I leave this world, that will still be in my bosom. But you mark my words, what's going to take place. And now Brother William says, well, after he left, now you can see that the angel also walked over there. And what was all that? It was the angel who accompanied him, walking towards the other angel who stood up. In other words, he was going towards that manifestation where that archangel was ministering there. It was the angel who accompanied him, walking towards the other angel who stood up, the Archangel Michael. What do you think about that? The Archangel Gabriel accompanied the fourth Elijah, see? The Archangel Gabriel accompanied the fourth Elijah, and the light accompanied the fourth Elijah. But listen careful now. The Archangel Michael accompanies the second Moses. And the pillar of fire accompanies the second Moses. And when that happens, then the fifth ministry of Elijah will also be in the same person. And then, automatically, the angel who accompanies the ministry of Elijah, who is Gabriel, will accompany that ministry of Elijah and will then be with Michael. That is the total manifestation of Elohim, Gabriel, and Michael. In a writing, he left for us there. Notice. In a part on the back of a study, he writes there, when we see Gabriel, something major is going to happen. And today Michael and Gabriel will be here. When he came to Michael in human flesh in Genesis 18:1-19, something major happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. And then, when we saw him coming as Jesus, something major happened. The work of redemption. And now when we see him manifested again in the midst of the people, the major work that is taking place is the claiming work. The claiming work. Now he goes on to say there, well, it will be more glorious than you and I can imagine. There will be no limits to what God will be doing. If it was glorious for Abraham and Sarah to receive that visit back then of Elohim, Gabriel, and Michael, and one says, if I had been there at that time, in the time when Elohim, Gabriel, and Michael appeared to Abraham, it would have been so glorious to be there. But notice, today you have Abraham's days in the midst of the human race, again, in the midst of the people of God. Now in this message, titled Time of Trouble, notice he tells us, so we find that all of that shows the rebellion of the devil at this end time. The way he will rebel and the things he will try to do at this time. But the way that Michael stands up and casts him down, it is also shown in the Compendium of Angels, which is the booklet that contains several excerpts on the subject angels, on page 35. The Reverend William Branham tells us there, this one is from the message, The Unfailing Realities of the Living God. He says, remember, sin didn't begin on earth. Sin began in heaven. When Lucifer taken and made him, he said, I want a denomination. Make a great big thing. Went on the north country, and here on the right, he writes, north equals Rome in the old world. And above north, he also writes Rome. Went on the north country and set up a bigger thing that Michael had. And he was kicked out of heaven. And on the left he writes Michael. And he also writes on the left Revelation 12, 1 to 17. Now he goes on to say, where is the place that the devil has wanted to go up to and place his throne? He has wanted to go up to the mountain of God, to the highest of God. He has wanted to go up to the mount of the congregation. He has wanted to go up high. He has wanted to go up to the age of the cornerstone. He has wanted to go up to a certain place where he can place his throne, and then be able to sit there on the mount of the congregation and then be like God. But what's the matter? It can't be that way, because he wasn't able to achieve his goals back then either. In the Book of the Seals on page 170, there, the Reverend William Branham tells us, which in the booklet of the first seal, page 47, notice he says, now notice, at the end time, at the end of the church ages now, he and his children are called the Antichrist, because anything that's against Christ is Antichrist, and anything that's against the Word is against Christ, because Christ is the Word. Now, he is Antichrist. But in Revelation 12, 7-9, Satan the Spirit, the devil, which is up there, now, accuser of our brethren. Alright, the church is taken up, and Satan is cast out. When the church goes up, Satan comes down. Then Satan incarnates himself in the Antichrist, and is called the Beast. Now remember, the church goes up, where? To the age of the cornerstone. Then Revelation 13, he sets the mark down, see? When he that letteth, only now Christianity is left on the earth in its purity. It's because him that letteth. And he that letteth is the Holy Spirit, the one who let during the dispensation of grace. Remember back here in Thessalonians, sitting upon the temple of God, calling himself God, forgiving sins on earth, and thou'll go on, and iniquity shall abound, and on, because it won't be known yet until his time to be revealed is called, and then the church will be caught away, and when it's caught away, then he changes himself from an Antichrist, now, oh my, the church, the great church and that. Now he becomes the Beast. I wish I could make people see that. Now remember, the Antichrist and the Beast is the same self-spirit. There is the Trinity. Yes, sir. It's three stages of the same devil power. Remember, Nicolaitan, see? It had to be incarnate before it could be crowned. And he writes on the right, to crown. Now watch this, three stages. First stage, he is called Antichrist. Second stage, he is called the false prophet. Third stage, he is called the Beast. He writes below there, a spirit must become incarnate to be crowned. That is why on page 161 of the Book of the Seals, or the first seal, page 40, tells us about the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. How he becomes incarnate at this time, in the person. See? He has to become incarnate in order to be crowned. And that is how it also is with the spirit of the devil. Notice Nicolaitan, the Antichrist teaching that started in the days of Paul against God's word, Antichrist. Then he's called again the false prophet, which when the teaching become a man, he was a prophet to the teaching of the hierarchy of the Catholic Church. The Pope was the prophet to the false word, and that made him a false prophet. The third stage is a beast, a man that's crowned in the last days with every power that pagan Roman ever had. There he writes on the left, the Pope and incarnate spirit will be crowned. The Pope and incarnate spirit will be crowned because the seven-headed beast, dragon, was cast out of heaven and come incarnate in the false prophet. There it is. He has seven crowns, and he was cast out and thrown into the earth and the sea. All right. What are we saying? Who is this rider, this horse rider? Do you know what it is? It's Satan's Superman. Now, Dr. William Soto goes on to say here, then he is cast down onto the ground, see? He wanted to go up to heaven. He wants to go up to the heavenly age. But he is cast down to the ground. Then upon being cast down to the ground, he is cast down to where? To an earthly age. To the Laodicean age. There is where he then establishes himself, and he places his kingdom there. In Satan's Eden, he says that is the throne of Satan, there in Laodicea. Why? Because the archangel Michael then cast him down to the ground. Then the devil cannot do what he had done in past ages, where he managed to enter each of the ages. After the messenger delivered the message, the elect were sealed, and then the devil went in the message. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. There, Brother Branham tells us on page 71, the following that it says. Now, the big fancy intellectual denominations are doing the very same thing, gathering themselves together to do the same thing. See? They are gathering and denominating themselves, each one trying to beat the other one. And now they got so much splendor, they don't know what to do but to unite it with the Catholic Church. See? Lucifer again building a bigger kingdom to push out people that don't believe in denominations and even take their church buildings and make storerooms. There on the left, he writes, Lucifer's kingdom on earth. And below he writes, the squeeze. And the pastors of such has no rights at all. And a man that is a God-sent man would never stay in a denomination after hearing this or seeing it. If he got enough to go out and look at it, certainly. See, I don't say that critically. I say that truthfully. There he writes on the left, the persecution. And he also writes, Lucifer. Notice, in these last days, Lucifer is doing the same thing. Can you see it? The devil doing the same thing, building up a hybrid church, a hybrid by hybrid members, hybrid by knowledge instead of the word, by intellectual men instead of born-again men, building an intellectual kingdom that will outshine Christ's little bitty flock, see? What is it that did that? Fallen angels. The Bible said it was fallen angels who listened to Lucifer instead of Christ, who they once belonged to. There he writes on the left, the kingdom of the fallen angels. Is that right? Now listen close. Fallen angels. What kind of angels? Luther, Wesley, Catholic, Pentecostals, who kept not their first state like the angels did, and has fell into organization, like Lucifer's main hold at Nicaea. And there he writes on the right upward, fallen angels, Wesleyans, Lutherans, and Pentecostals. And what have they done? Organize a great ecumenical association of ministers to make an image unto the beast. And he writes on the left, the image of the beast, Lucifer. As the Bible said, and building a Christian economy, thou close the doors of this church and others like it. See Lucifer at work? And he writes, Lucifer, I'm trying to bring you the threefold revelation or mystery of God. What did they do? Sold out the reasoning of wisdom and education like Eve did, fallen angels did. Wesley was a man of God. But what followed him? Fallen angels got into it. What was the angels first? Creative beings of God, but fell for Lucifer's wisdom. Fell for Lucifer, Lucifer's wisdom. And you see what they become? Fallen angels. And he writes fallen angels. And organizations from men of God who has went forth to establish truth in the earth. Before that truth could go on and proclaim it and get on the real revelation of Christ, and there he writes, to the second coming of the Lord. Fallen angels come in and took it over and made denominations out of it. That's the reason the revelation of the seventh seal mystery had to be unfolded. Now you see it? What they left off, if Luther would have went on, it had been here. If Wesley would have went on, if Pentecost would have went on, what would they have done? Now, there is only one thing can happen. There has to be a message at the end time, when there is nothing else can follow it. And now, the ecumenical world has set up such a regime that there can be no denomination. And no, not. Nothing else follow it. You're either in it or you're not in it. The fruit is on the top of the tree. And the light is shining in that predestinated fruit. And she is ripening into Christ-like fruit, bringing forth the same mellowness and sweetness and the same spirit he had in him. Hope you see it, see? That is what he's saying there. And Dr. William Soto goes on to say next, and Brother Branham says that even though the messenger of each age was there, the devil has certain hold. And that in each age there were mistakes. See that the devil always has something. He had a certain control in each age. But when we reach the age of the cornerstone, the heavenly age, there the devil tries to come up there. To do what? To do the same thing he did in past ages. And to establish himself there, which is the most important place. But from there, he is cast down to the ground. He is cast out. And how is he cast out? He is cast out in a very simple way. Very simple. He is cast out. Now notice in the message, souls that are in prison now, remember that everything is done by the Word. The Word is what takes care of everything. In souls that are in prison now, notice on page 33, it says, then why? Why would a man, a Pentecostal world man, that circular letter that Brother Duplessis, our precious brother, who's got circulate, maybe some of you has got it. Yep, you got it. In the ecumenical council by the side of the Pope and said, it was very spiritual. That's discernment of the Spirit, isn't it? Oh, the Spirit of the Lord was there, very spiritual. Yeah, there you are. Why? Because it's an opportunity to unite the Protestants, and that together, which we have fought for years, and the Bible has stood for and told us that that would come. And one of our great leaders comes right in and said, that's right, that's what we do. And the whole Protestant church is falling for it. And just exactly, if you look up there, thus saith the Lord, first, the Word said it, then the Spirit of the Lord said, in 1933, that told all these other things about the nations going to war, and how the machines would be, and everything like that. Said that's exactly what would happen at the end. Cars were egg-shaped, oval. That's one of the visions. And here it is. It's never failed. And here we see it shaping up. You remember my sermon on Jezebel religion not long ago? You remember Elisha? And he writes, the fifth Elijah, coming down the road that morning to tell them. Coming down the road, he writes there in the fourth watch, in a new dispensational day. And how I predicted then that the time would come when this ecumenical council would finally become the mark of the beast, because it would unite with the beast. It's doing it. In my age, I lived to see it. And here the Protestants, by the millions, fall for it. Why? That's what they're looking for. They are blind. Jesus told those Pharisees, you're blind, leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, he said, won't they all fall in the ditch? And that's where they'll fall. And he writes there, Elisha, in the morning, and on top, a new dispensation, Elisha in the morning to tell them. That is then the time when the ecumenical council would become the mark of the beast. Elisha in the morning, a new dispensation above, to tell them that then is the time when the ecumenical council would become the mark of the beast. How could I ever believe that a man had stood with me and talked with me could ever sit and make a remark like that? See, it's hid the eyes from the wise and prudent and reveal it to the babes such as will learn. I know someday that's going to cost me my life. That's right. It's going to. But here the truth is being known. There the minister of Elijah is speaking, which that would be fulfilled at this end time. And he will be able to say, he who has the ministry of Elijah in its fifth manifestation will be able to say, I know someday all of this is going to cost me my life, but may it be according to your will, Lord. Because how else would the scriptures be fulfilled? Now, look here on the front, he writes, the mark of the beast is in the morning. The mark of the beast is in the morning. Dr. William Soto goes on to say here, a bit further on, and now, who are the angels who were deceived by Lucifer at this time? They are the Lutherans, the Wesleyans, the Pentecostals, and the Catholics. They are the angels who were deceived. And we find that at this time, Lucifer stands up to try to be like the Almighty, and Lucifer's kingdom to be more radiant than the kingdom of Christ, than the kingdom of Michael, than the little flock of the Lord. And the little flock of the Lord will be what? A group of elect at this end time who will be with Michael. And Michael is Christ, and it's Christ in his second coming. Do you see? In this same message, souls that are in prison now on page 34, There he tells us, you remember Hebrews, the sixth chapter, ones that was once made known the truth and refused to walk in it. There is no more repentance for them. See? A borderline belief. When the truth is presented to a person for the last time and they refuse to receive it, according to the book of Hebrews, see, there is not even nothing in the world can ever save them. They are finished. No repentance. Notice, once a person rejects the divine truth and what God has promised for each time, then there is no turning back. They may say, no, I don't believe that. I come here merely out of commitment, or to say that I came, and I'm just sitting there. Look, he's deceiving himself. He thinks he's deceiving the people, but he's deceiving himself, because no one deceives God, and he sees the intentions of the heart. And the person can go on like usual, but notice, to God, he is already considered an unbeliever, as a hypocrite, to put it more clearly. No redemption. There is nothing left for them. They're eternally separated. The Bible said so. Looking for the fearful fire and the indignation which shall devour the adversary. And when the truth of the gospel has been proven, truly vindicated, and then turns around and walks from it, they're finished. That's all. It's awful. But I have to tell it. It is like, he said to Thomas, because notice, there are many Thomases who are, well, when I see what was seen there, once I see that, then I'll believe. But look at what Jesus called him, what he said to him. Put your hands in my side, and put your fingers here in my hand, and don't be an unbeliever. Ouch. That's a harsh word for a person. Remember the angels which kept not the first state, but left there in that prison house in darkness, where the world is walking today in that same prison. There is no repentance. And he writes there, fallen angels, Lutherans, Wesleyans, Pentecostals. Now, Dr. William Soto goes on to say here, now, do you see the way Michael stands up at this end time? Because Michael is Christ in his second coming, who rises on the scene at this time. And he is the one who stands for the children of Israel. Christ in his second coming is that prince who stands on the scene, who stands for Israel, who appears to fulfill what he promised. And that is also the time when he stands up to bring about the resurrection. That is why if he is the one who is there, who is Michael, who is Christ, who is that messianic ministry, then when Brother Branham speaks of, watch how the resurrection moves, well, it's because he would bring the resurrection also. He stands so that that promise is also fulfilled in our transformation as well. There is a writing in one of the books of quotations, the small thick one that was distributed years ago at the beginning. And he writes there in that book, Michael is Christ. And who is Gabriel? It's a question. Now let us continue seeing here. In this other subject, a people who follow the pillar of fire. This was on May 19th of 2002 in Cali, Colombia. He says, now we find that the Virgin Mary represents the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Church Bride of Jesus Christ. Therefore, at the end time, the Archangel Gabriel will announce the second coming of Christ. To whom did he announce the first coming? to the Virgin Mary, who is a type and figure of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. To whom will he announce the second coming? To the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Virgin Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the message, Why It Had to Be Shepherd, on page 32, there it says, the Reverend William Branham says at the bottom, he says, and the Holy Ghost, the angel of the Lord, and there above he writes, the angel of the Lord, Gabriel. The Holy Spirit, notice, there he writes that the angel of the Lord is Gabriel. And the Holy Ghost, the angel of the Lord, appeared to Mary and told her that she was going to have a baby, knowing no man, and told her about Elizabeth's condition. And on the left he writes, the Holy Spirit. And he also writes, angel. And he leaves a note here as well, notice. He writes, Gabriel. Two dots. And below he writes, the Holy Spirit, the angel of the Lord, appeared to Mary. And above the angel, he writes, Gabriel. Now he goes on to say, it must be by and through a virgin church, which is typified in the Virgin Mary, to where the fulfillment of the second coming of Christ comes, because the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that has the promise of the second coming of Christ. Where would the second coming of Christ come forth from? Well, from the midst of the church bride. In the message, Mary's Believe, there he tells us, on page 11, which is this excerpt, which is in the book of quotations, on page 33. I'm going to read the previous paragraph. I mean the booklet. We are looking for a heavenly visitor in this day. It's a promise of God. Put on your deep spiritual thinking, quick, church, and remember, we are now looking for a visitor, and there is many claiming it, but the only way that we'll know this heavenly visitor, because he'll bear record of the word. That's exactly right. She knew that angel was from God when she seen his action. Looked at him, it must be an angel. He said, I'm Gabriel, standing at the right hand of God. Now, when God gets ready to do something, he sends a messenger always. Always has, he always will. Gabriel announced the first coming of Christ. Gabriel will announce the second coming of Christ. That's right. Something major is fixing to happen. And we noticed this angel when he said, Hail Mary, and told her what was going to take place. She didn't doubt him, because she knew he was perfectly scriptural, that it was supposed to be that way. Here in the book of quotations, he writes, Gabriel equals, he announces, the second coming of Christ. Now, here in this Bible study, notice, he writes, when they put that excerpt from page 33, paragraph 282, where it says, the angel Gabriel will announce, below he writes, will forerun. In other words, he is a forerunner. in the 70 weeks of Daniel, let us turn there, where he tells us, on page 13 of the 70 weeks of Daniel, which would be paragraph 67. It's laying back in that condition. And that only shows that this is just a period of time. Can't you see? God don't have things out of cater. He's just letting it run like that for a little time. And I truly believe that that thing was done. And in these last days is when God is going to reveal these secrets to the church. He hasn't done it before. And the reason He hasn't done it is to keep the church a watching and praying all the time, not knowing when it was coming. There He draws a Star of David on the right, there at the beginning of that paragraph. But you remember in Daniel 12, He said, "The wise shall understand in the last, in this last day." And there in the last, He circles it. There. See, it's been given to Him. He draws a Star of David to the right. The Spirit of Wisdom comes into the church to make known to the church by the revelation of the Holy Ghost. And there He draws a cornerstone and an arrow towards the cornerstone, bringing the church in and revealing what day that we're living in. Just the same as Gabriel come to Daniel, the Holy Spirit comes to the church in these last days to reveal these great deep secret things. Do you understand now? And there He writes upward, Gabriel equals came to Daniel. The Holy Spirit equals comes to the church. And look, there's a writing here that He left for us. On the front it says, just as Gabriel came to Daniel, the Holy Spirit comes to the church to bring her the revelation. Just as Gabriel came to Daniel, the Holy Spirit comes to the church to bring her the revelation. And there is also another writing around here, where He writes again, just as Gabriel came to Daniel, the Holy Spirit comes to the church to bring her the revelation. He wrote it twice. Now notice that in the book of the ages, it shows us there on page 172. Let us look at that part there, so that it is also included there as well, where He tells us about that seed word. Let us see. That is on page 172. Of the book of the ages, He says, from a little group of the true seed of the word, there He draws a cornerstone and the ages and an arrow towards the cornerstone, and He writes, bride. God will present Christ with a beloved bride. She is a virgin of His word. She is a virgin because she knows no man-made creeds or dogmas. By and through the members of the bride will be fulfilled all that was promised of God to be made manifest in the virgin. The word of promise came to the Virgin Mary. But that word of promise was He Himself to be made manifest. God was made manifest. There on the left He writes at the top, the second Mary, at the beginning of that paragraph. And then He writes, through the bride. And He also writes, Mary equals the bride. he himself acted at that time and fulfilled his own word of promise in the Virgin. It was an angel that had brought her the message. And he writes on the right, Gabriel. But the angel's message was the word of God. And he writes, Jesus equals his angel. Isaiah 9:6, he fulfilled at that time all that was written of him, because she accepted his word to her. The members of the Virgin Bride will love him, and they will have his potentials, for he is their head, and all powers belong to him. They are subject to him as the members of our bodies are subject to our heads. Notice the harmony of the Father and the Son. And he draws a cornerstone on the ages on the left. Jesus never did anything until it was first showed him by the Father. John 5:19. This harmony is now to exist between the groom and his bride. He shows her his word of life. She receives it. She never doubts it. Therefore, nothing can harm her, not even death. For if the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again. Here is the secret of this. The word is in the bride, as it was in Mary. And he draws a little cornerstone there. The bride has the mind of Christ, for she knows what he wants done with the word. There he draws a cornerstone, and he writes mind, and an arrow towards the cornerstone. She performs the command of the word in his name, for she has, thus saith the Lord. Then the word is quickened by the Spirit, and it comes to pass, like a seed that is planted and watered, it comes to full harvest, serving its purpose. There he draws a Star of David on the right. Those in the bride do only his will. No one can make them do otherwise. They have, thus saith the Lord, or they keep still. He draws a cornerstone on the ages on the right. They know that it has to be God in them doing the works, fulfilling his own word. He did not complete all his work while in his earthly ministry, so now he works in and through the bride. She knows that, for it was not yet time for him to do certain things that he must now do, but he will now fulfill through the bride that work which he left for this specific time. And he writes there on the right, the Holy Spirit works in and through the bride. Now notice, in this message, the message for all nations. There, Brother William, that was on June 27, 2008, in Brazil. He tells us about this scripture that we were reading. He says, just as Gabriel announced the first coming of Christ, he will announce the second coming of Christ. The Reverend William Branham says, in Birth Pains, the message Birth Pains, there on page 19, that is paragraph 132, it says, you know why he didn't? Remember, his father was a priest. But why didn't he follow the line of his father, which was custom for the children to do in those days? He is speaking about John the Baptist. Why he didn't follow the footsteps of Zechariah, his father? Because he had something, too great a message. He was to introduce the Messiah, for the Holy Spirit has said so. That little remnant that had been brought back by the message of Gabriel down there knew that that would be so. And he writes there, Gabriel and his message. And also on the back part, there he writes, Gabriel equals, he brought his message. In other words, he brought that message. Both giving the news to the priest Zechariah, as well as to the Virgin Mary. Now, on that same message, he goes on to say, and how is he going to do that? In other words, how is he going to announce the second coming of Christ? He says, and how is he going to do that? Let's leave that alone there. Remember that the Virgin back then, the Virgin Mary, represents the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, there will be a conversation with the Church. How many times did he talk to us, right? He had quite a long conversation all these years until God took him. A conversation among friends. Therefore, there will be a conversation with the Church, a heavenly conversation, and we'll leave that there. There he goes, he hit the brakes. He could not remember speak openly all that mystery of the seventh seal. Now, that conversation took place there, between the Virgin Mary and that archangel, or between the archangel and the Virgin Mary. That is in Luke, in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1, verse 30 to 38. Now he goes on to say, now let's leave it there, because the Church, the Virgin, it was said, three dots. I don't have the book of the seals here. Otherwise, I would read something to you. It must be the one that ends on page 484 in Spanish. If it doesn't end in 484, that's not it. Let's see. Remember that the Virgin Mary typifies the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us look at that part there that he then read in that message further on page 439 of the Book of the Seals. There where he read, it says, 439. It says, that's the reason we're in travail. Christ to bring forth the bride. Everything is travailing and groaning, see? There is something fixing to happen. And this sixth plague lets her go. Brother, the earthquakes burst open. And the stars shake. Volcanic will come forth and the earth will renew itself. New lava will break forth from the center of the earth, and she'll crumble all around and around and around when she spins out in yonder. And I tell you, one morning, when Jesus and his bride come back to the earth, above that he writes a date. I don't know if that one has been read. Isn't it there in the writings? If you can confirm me, if that date there in that paragraph, in that portion, was read. No? It's not there. To see if we had read it before. I don't think it has been read. This date that he wrote here. Because notice, if it is in the fourth watch, a morning happens in the fourth watch. But notice, I don't know if it is the right time to read that date there, because it is in the range of one time to another. That is why I'm giving a bit of time to see, because notice, everything is written here. Let us check if it is, if it was spoken. Because if it was spoken, then it's because it had to be spoken at that moment. But if not, but look, and I'll tell you, one morning when Jesus, because we are not based on dates, because otherwise, then, everyone will go to their own place. Let's wait until that day. Oh, it would then be something make-believe. And that's why one understands. Let us see. No, it hasn't been said. So, one understands why there are things that one keeps to oneself. Look at like that song that the Reverend William Perez read at the beginning. How? that scripture is completely fulfilled at this time, where you will notice you can be against that ministry of the tent. But he stays still, because at the end it says that the Lord will laugh at them. He says that he will have them in derision. It says there. In other words, there is such a great assurance that one goes with certainty, and so do the elect. Nothing and no one can prevent you from reaching that goal, that target. Nothing and no one on this earth. You have a goal, and that is to reach the transformation. And do you know that that's thus saith the Lord? And do you know that you will receive it? Amen. We accept it. We confirm it with an amen. Because that is how it will be. That is why nothing on this earth can prevent us from reaching that goal. And if you get a bit of course, you will receive some reprimanding knocks on the head so that you can realign yourself. Because there isn't also any elect who can get out of that blessing that has already been predestinated for that elect. Now, we do not want to try to see, to stray a bit and see if it's really true. No, we try to serve the Lord as best we can, and we move forward in our lives, and we are aware that we are human. But that doesn't give us the right to then say, oh, I'm only human. No, we live the best we can, and we shouldn't have to endure suffering due to carelessness. So he says, and I tell you, one morning when Jesus and his bride comes back to the earth, there will be a paradise of God there, that, oh my, them old warriors of the battle walk down through there with their friends and loved ones. The anthems will fill the air of an angelic host. Now notice, there will be singing. There will be joy. He tells us on page, where does he say? On page 445, where he says, for we realize we have just a short time, and the church might go at any time. The Lamb might at any time leave the sanctuary up there, or the throne of sacrifice, come forth from the throne of God where the sacrifice lays, and there is over. There is no more hopes for the world. She is finished. Then she goes into flusterations of great spasms of earthquakes and the great shakings like it was at the resurrection. As Christ rose from the grave, when the saints rise, the same thing will take place. Lord, it could be at any minute. We're watching for that glad day to arrive. Take your children under your arm, Father, now. Draw your little lambs to your bosom. Grant it and feed them on the word till they're in strength for service. All of that, which is being seen and will continue increasing, notice, those are glad days for us. They are days of joy, because they are days in which the return of all those who have departed draws closer and closer. And if there is still someone who has yet to depart, that is no problem, because he will return with an eternal and glorified body. Now, there will be songs. Those days, look, my desire is for everyone to be singing. Those are 3.5 difficult days, but 3.5 days for the church to be singing, worshiping God, glorifying God, preparing that welcome with songs. How is it done in the activities? First, we sing. We worship God. And then God comes with His Word. That is how I want my people to be singing in those days. He says, "Oh, it was well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord that's been prepared for you, like you should have had back there before Eve started the ball a rolling in sin." In other words, because of what happened there in the fall, in the Garden of Eden. Now, he goes on to say here, in this other message, which is in the 70 weeks of Daniel, on page 20, which is the message, Gabriel's instruction to Daniel. There he says, "I understand by letters of the prophets." This is on page 20. On Spanish is 27, or another version on 24. "I understand by the letters of the prophets that Israel will become a nation. They'll reestablish the temple worship. God will go to dealing with her again when she comes to her homeland. Oh, two prophets will rise in the last days with them." I understand that. Just as the Gentile church moves out, two prophets will arrive, Elisha and Moses, to Israel. Now he draws a cornerstone and the ages on the right, the last three. And he puts a dot next to the gap. And from there, a little curve towards the cornerstone. That is, just as the Gentile church moves out, he puts a, from one point to another. And on the left he writes upward, Elisha and Moses. We'll get it as we go through. Prophets seen the time was nearly fulfilled down there in Babylon. All right. Then Gabriel appears to reveal not only what he was asking about, but to tell him all the way down what was determined for the Jewish race. In other words, Daniel was there with Gabriel. Or rather, Gabriel was with Daniel. All the way to the consummation. Amen. He asked a little bit and got the whole thing. He asked just to know. And there he writes, Gabriel. And he also writes, he asked a little bit. Daniel was trying to find out, "How much longer, Lord, will it be now? Jeremiah the prophet, your servant, my brother, has prophesied 68 years ago and said, there is 70 years that these people will stay in here. All the old generation is practically gone now. There is an old Pentecostal generation that raised up 40 years ago. All fighters, there was called. They organized and beat and fussed all down through Mount Horeb and Nebo, all through there. But finally, we are at the river now." And he writes, the Jordan. He writes above, "We are at the river." He writes, the Jordan. He's going to raise up a new one with a Joshua to take them over. The law failed. Moses went with it. Moses failed. Joshua took them over. There at the bottom he writes, a new generation with Joshua. And he draws a cornerstone and the ages, and the last three, 5, 6, 7, and on the 8th he writes 8, and an arrow towards the cornerstone. He had also written there as well, upward, an old Pentecostal generation. We find out that the organization has failed, but the Spirit of God, Joshua, the word Joshua means Jesus our Savior, that the Holy Spirit will come into the church, not an organization, but the Holy Spirit will get among the people and make her ready to go up. Who would make the church ready to go up? The Holy Spirit. What a beautiful scene. And he draws a cornerstone on the right and the ages. Her ready to go up, cross Jordan. I understand by the reading of the book that that's what's to take place. And God knows that's what I'm seeking now, that I might comfort His people and tell them what's at hand, both here this morning and out through the land, that those tapes will go worldwide, that we are at the end time. And he writes above that, the message of the establishment of the kingdom. The message of the establishment of the kingdom. That is, the message, two dots or colon, the message of God, two dots, the establishment of the kingdom. He revealed all the way until the kingdom was completely restored and the millennium set in. That was Gabriel's message. He said, I've come to tell you that there is 70 of years, 70 of weeks, yet determined upon thy people, determined to the end of the Jewish generation, there is 70 of week. Now notice, there's also a writing here where he left for us there. Gabriel equals the messenger, Holy Spirit. Mary equals the church, virgin, the bride. Gabriel equals the messenger, comma, Holy Spirit. Mary equals the church, virgin, the bride. Now in this other message, identifying the end of time, this was already on July 8, 2016. There he tells us, in Guatemala, he says, and now we are in the time for the second coming of Christ. The Reverend William Branham says, the angel Gabriel announced the first coming of Christ, and he will announce the second coming. He reads again, in that message, he reads that part, and look at what he says. Someday I will tell you if he had already announced it or will announce it later. That was in 2016, in June. And remember, on December 18th, 2016, in that activity there in Buenos Aires, Argentina, there he told us, I do not have much time left on earth. I'm already 76 years old, and I have no time to waste with the Gentiles or with the Jews. I have been sent from the presence of God to give this news, these good tidings for Israel. There he is announcing, and the sooner I give them all, the sooner I can go to the house of my Heavenly Father. Now, did he announce it or not? Of course he announced it. Now notice, in this message, titled, The Spoken Word is the Original Seed. There on page 110. Because notice, when God finishes the work through a messenger, He doesn't leave him there among the people, but rather He finishes His work and takes him away. Here He tells us, page 110, it says, there in the latter rain there will come forth a Mount Carmel, a showdown, Bible fulfilled to the letter. John the Baptist, his messenger before his face in Malachi 3, planted a former rain and was rejected by the churches, the denominations, the Pharisees and Sadducees in his day. Jesus came and had the Mount Transfiguration showdown. This forerunner of the last days will sow for the former rain. Jesus will be, and he writes there, Moses and Elijah, Jesus will be the showdown between denominations and creeds, which is his word. And he writes on the right, the showdown. which is His word, when He comes, a showdown, the rapture of His bride. The first was Mount Carmel. The second was Mount Transfiguration. The third will be Mount Zion. And on the left upward, he writes, Mount Carmel, Mount Transfiguration, Mount Zion. Elijah's behavior, Moses' behavior, John's behavior, leaving their field of service. Many of the people didn't understand them. It was because they was rejected, and their message. The seed had been sown. Judgment was next, and there was a sign to the people from God that judgment was at hand. Planting was over. And above that he writes, the sign that everything is finished is when a prophet leaves the field of service and leaves. The sign that everything is finished is when a prophet, in other words, when what has finished? The ministry of that prophet. The sign that everything is finished is when a prophet leaves the field of service and leaves. In other words, God takes him to rest. In the message, the trajectory of the Holy Spirit, notice, he tells us there, preach on January 12, 2003, in Calle, Puerto Rico, Dr. William Soto says, we have already identified Gabriel, and we have identified the very color there, the greenish color, which Daniel said that was the color of his body. His body was like beryl. Now, we have seen something very important here. We have also seen that the angel who appeared to the Reverend William Branham, who was accompanied by the pillar of fire, and which that angel came forth from, was also beryl color, an olive color. That angel belongs to that army of Gabriel. And some have even thought that the one who appeared to the Reverend William Branham was the Archangel Gabriel. But until now, we do not have that confirmed yet. But if it is fully confirmed at some point, I will be making it known to you. The Reverend William Branham, no one knows if he knew or not know who that angel was, which was the angel's name. Many ask him, who is that angel? What is his name? But he never went around saying that angel's name, who that angel was. But if the name appears or a direct reference to who that angel is appears in some message, I will be telling you who that angel is in some occasion. Now, in some occasion, it has already been made known in our time. Because it is the Holy Spirit in Him who was speaking that. And today it is the same Holy Spirit making known who that angel was. In a writing, in a notebook, he writes, the angel who appeared to Brother Branham is Gabriel. He already had it written down, but he wasn't the one who had to say it. Although around the decade of the 70s, we saw around there that he spoke of it. But that stayed somewhat quiet. When it was going to be revealed, was at this end time. Now notice in the message, the 70 weeks of Daniel, on page 5, there it tells us, which corresponds to the message 61-0730E, let us see, page 5, where it says, now while in studying, which is the paragraph 28, on page 5 it says, now while in studying the scriptures, he seen that the 70 years was running out, so him being there 68 years, left 2 years in the future until God would restore his people back to their homeland. He writes on the right, 2 years prior. While in prayer, we find out that there was a mighty angel come from heaven. Can anybody call his name? Congregation says Gabriel. Gabriel. And he is the angel to the Jewish church. Now he draws a line outwards and he draws a little cornerstone. And he writes Revelation chapter 10, 1 to 11, 19, 11 to 21, 14, 1 to 20, 7, also 11, 3 to 7. How many knows that? Everywhere it's Gabriel. Gabriel is the messenger to the church, the Jewish church. Came to Mary. He came to Zechariah. Always it's Gabriel. And he's one of the great angels of heaven. And there on the left he writes, Gabriel to the Jews. And he also writes on the back, Gabriel is the angel messenger to the Jewish church. And he draws a cornerstone. Now do you see why he had to appear at the end time, in that junction of time, where that Jewish church would be? Because the Reverend William Branham said that the age of the cornerstone is a Jewish age. Now, in this message titled, The Zero Hour in the Divine Program, preached on January 2nd, 2000 in Calle, Puerto Rico, he says, now notice where the revelation of the seventh seal comes from. The revelation of the second coming of Christ. That revelation comes from heaven. It is a heavenly trumpet, the trumpet of God. And the Archangel Gabriel is involved there. Therefore, there will be someone on earth, like the prophet Daniel, to whom that revelation of God will come. And therefore, the Archangel Gabriel will be accompanying that messenger of God, because the Archangel of the Revelation is the Archangel Gabriel. In a writing that he also left us there, and look, he writes, that is how it is in heaven. And the voice of God comes forth from his eternal throne and is sent through the angel Gabriel, the messenger with access to the book of truth. That is how it is in heaven. And the voice of God comes forth from his eternal throne and is sent through the angel Gabriel, the messenger with access to the book of truth. Now he is the one who at this end time would be beside that messenger, and the Archangel Michael as well. We have already seen where the Archangel Michael is, and we have also seen where the Archangel Gabriel went with his armies to a little wooden room. Now notice in the message, once more, Lord, which is the subject that we also have today, because this subject was preached on Sunday, August 2nd, the one we are going to see of 2015. But this is a portion here from Friday, July 31st. In other words, it's the introduction, and it was preached in Panama. And notice here next to the subject, once more, Lord, he writes, Christ in his second coming will be the Samson of the last day.
Ooh.
The Samson of the last day. He has muscles. Of faith. Those are the ministries of Moses and Elijah. That is the Samson of the last day, the Lord in his coming. Christ in his second coming will be the Samson of the last day. He will be the Son of Man in his coming to his church, to manifest in all his fullness once more. Manifest himself, but he wrote manifest, to manifest in all of his fullness once more. Also there, under once more, Lord, he writes the divine judgments. Now, it goes on here, next, a portion of this message, He says, once more, Lord, Samson asked. In other words, from Friday's message, from the introduction, once more, Lord, Samson asked. And once more, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the age of the cornerstone, asked for the mighty manifestation of God in all His fullness. Now notice in the message of the Reverend William Branham, titled like this, Just One More Time, Lord. There on page 23, he tells us, are you willing to cry out, once more, Lord, let it happen? He's asking that question. Are you willing to cry that out? This morning, are you willing to do that? Of course we are, Lord. Lord, once more. It's your church asking it to you, Lord. If you are, God will sure hear your prayer. Brother Branham says, it is not hard to ask that because it's a promise. Watch when that man, with all that fiber standing there, his great resume, but he was still blind. He knew the price. He knew the possibility. He said, once more, Lord, once more avenge me of my eyesight. When he made that prayer, God answered it. Every fiber of his body began to tighten up. The spirit began to come on those muscles. Oh, if we could have the spirit that come on our Wednesday night prayer meeting. They have services on Wednesday evening. On our Sunday school. Feel the fibers of the muscles of God's power tightening up. Where the Holy Spirit can come in. Not in a mockery, but in a genuine spirit to reveal the secret of the heart and to straighten up the sin that's in there. Cast out the evil. He says that sin wouldn't enter, said a church like that. As his fibers begin to tighten, let me die with them. He surrendered then, see? He laid down his life. Let me die with them. I was born to destroy them.
Wow.
That's something. I was born to destroy them. Let me die with them. And his fiber, his muscles tighten up. His great, huge muscles receive strength. The Holy Spirit began to move upon him. And he twisted that rock with his mighty power. And down she went. All we need is a sincere prayer. Once more, Lord. And he writes, once more, Lord. And he draws a cornerstone. In other words, that is fulfilled in the age of the cornerstone. When we ought to be in the promised land, we're still wandering around in the wilderness, like Israel wanted a law. Something they could do. You can't do nothing about it. Accept Christ. Accept the Anointed One. We wanted a doctrine, something that we could puff up ourselves by and get a different class of people from the other fellow. See where we got? Blinded, all right? Down went the great denomination. It's always been that way when God comes in. The other things fall. Then was Samson's greatest victory. Oh, I wish I could see the Church of the Living God stand tonight. Once more, Lord, once more. And on the right, he writes, revival. And on the left, he also writes, revival. Send us a revival, if it costs me everything. Even if it costs us being treated like fanatics, or whatever they say to us, no matter what it costs us, send us a revival. If it costs us everything, Send me every Bible. Send it upon me, Lord. Hear this group of about 300 people or more here tonight. Cry out with one voice, Lord God, once more. Let me see Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let me know that He is near me. Let me know that He is here to take care of me. I am willing now. Oh, give over. The whole enemy was destroyed. Pentecostal, stand at that post tonight. Things that you were born to destroy, take it over. Repent. Call aloud. Lord, once more. Once more, let us see it. Let me say this, my friend. You better destroy your enemy before your enemy destroys you. Now, Dr. William Soto goes on to say here, and the manifestation of God will be in all of its fullness, which was shown to the Reverend William Branham in the 10th vision. The power of God will come there in that third pool that he speaks of, where God's fullness will be manifested, where he saw the pillar of fire moving towards a little wooden room, and where the power of God was manifested. In the message, in his presence, look on page 8. There he tells us, and he said, when that angel cried, the posts of the temple shook back and forth. Brother, thou make you not only in the post of the temple going to shake, but the whole heavens and earth is going to shake when he comes again. The mountains will flee, and the sea will fade away, and scream, hide us from the face of him that sit upon the throne. It's going to be a terrible time. I tell you, sinner friend, you better be checking it up. That's right. And let us turn and look on page 9. He says, this is the time that God said, there'd come a time. He shook Mount Sinai one time, but there come a shaking again. That he wouldn't only shake Mount Sinai, but he'd shake everything that could be moved. But did you notice the rest of the scripture? But we receive a kingdom that cannot be moved. Hallelujah. Everything that can be shook will be shaken. The heavens will shake. The earth will shake. Heavens and earth will pass away, but that word shall never pass away. For upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will never prevail against it. Everything that can be shook will be shaken. But we receive a kingdom which is the word of God himself. And God is his word. He don't shake himself. Amen. Oh my. But we receive a kingdom that cannot be moved. It's unshakable, said Paul, the Hebrew writer. And on the right, he writes, the kingdom, and he draws a cornerstone on the ages. Now he goes on to say here, everything that happened to Samson is a type and figure of what would happen to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that Samson said, to avenge my two eyes. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ already had seven eyes, seven messengers in the seven stages of the church. The seven spirits of God running to and fro throughout the earth are also the seven eyes of the Lamb in his horns. But in addition to that, he has two eyes on his forehead. There is a picture I also took of a drawing he made. Let us see here if I can find it. Of of this. He has made several like this, but for example, this one is more directed towards what we are reading here, where he also shows us there seven eyes, and also the two eyes, where he writes above Elijah and Moses in the two eyes. If you already have it, you can project it. There is where he says, the seven eyes are the seven messengers of the seven ages. He numbers them there. And notice, he also places a little star. And in the cornerstone, he draws the two eyes as flame of fire. And he writes Elijah and Moses. Remember the dream of Billy Paul? The seven eyes are the seven messengers of the seven ages. The seven spirits of God in those messengers running to and fro throughout the earth, from age to age. And so, the two eyes are the two olive trees. Everything is simple, because at the end time is when the power of God will be manifested in all His fullness once more. When you know these things, you wouldn't wish to depart from earth, even though things are not so great on earth. Notice he did not want it to leave, but he was meant to go and rest. But he will return, and he will be with us again, along with all those who have departed as well, and the messengers also. Even though things aren't so great on earth, problems everywhere, economic, political, social problems, the environment has problems, and also financial problems among some families. But there is a great blessing from God for the believers in Christ who live at this end time. And it is that, once more, God will manifest His power in all His fullness, in and through His church. And He will give us the faith to be transformed and taken with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb. That manifestation is the one that would give the faith to be transformed and raptured. In the book of quotations, on page 60, paragraph 525, he says, "And if it be your will, Lord, just before that church is raptured, may there rise power. Oh God, fill these vessels, these vessels, these vessels, and those vessels that are seeing me and that are reading." And you can say, "I am that vessel. Fill that vessel, Lord. Raise them up, Lord. Shake this world once more." And he draws a cornerstone, because there is where that was going to happen. We know it will be past time. There'll be no repentance then. For those who are waiting until that time, it will be far too late. And notice that there are warnings again and again. But sometimes people are so stubborn and so hard-headed. Their pride goes beyond the very promises that God has made. But it's all by election. There is no way. Thank God that you are seeing. There is where one says, when people tell you, "Look, it's just that I can't see, I can't understand, I can't comprehend. No, I can't see it." There is when you say, God's mercy towards me. Because one says, "But how is it possible that they can't see?" And there is when one thanks God. We don't point fingers or judge. What we want is for them to see and for those people to understand and for God to open their understanding. But think of yourself. Forget about the rest. Think of yourself. Thank you, Lord, because I see, because I comprehend and I understand what was promised in the sacred scriptures, in Brother Branham's messages, in Brother William's messages. And I am now seeing it in fulfillment. I am seeing everything that was written. Now I am seeing the letter coming to life. And I myself am coming to life because I have gone up to a heavenly age. And now I am seeing you, Lord, your glory being manifested, bringing me what you promised, the rapturing faith. And I have changed. I'm closer to you each time. I feel your presence each time. I get away from this and I draw closer to you each time. I get away from this other thing and I feel you closer each time. And I get away from this and I feel you more each time. It's because we have understood and comprehended that is Elohim. The coming of the Son of Man with his angels in the midst of his people, bringing them the rapturing faith. Now he says, shake this world once more. We know it will be past time. There'll be no repentance then. It'll be too far for them then. But show your power. Here comes the vindication. Here comes the vindication. The mouth of the critics will be shut. Lord, fill those vessels. And he writes Revelation 11:3, Moses and Elijah. And there is the group that comes with him. Fill those vessels and shake this world like it's never been shook before. Take your church then. Now I'm praying that you'll shake the world with them just a few days before the coming of the Lord. And he goes on to say there, and just as Samson did more when dying than what he had done in his entire life, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ at the same time, in a short time, when that moment begins, that stage, the Spirit of God will do more wonders through her than he has done on other greater occasions. Samson spoke the word. And the spoken word for this end time will be in the church. He writes here in this study, in one of the pages, he writes there, Philistine equals the people of the Antichrist, the tares. Samson equals Christ, and in between parentheses, and his church as well. Philistine equals the people of the Antichrist, the tares. Samson equals Christ and his church as well. The seven locks equals the seven ages. The seven locks equals the seven ages. The two eyes equals the two olive trees. The two anointed ones, Moses, Elijah, M.E., that is Moses and Elijah. Samson spoke the word, and the spoken word for this end time will be in the church. And the request is, Lord, once more, in that instance, he will give us the faith to be transformed. In that instance, in that once more, he isn't saying it there at that time, nor that it happened before that moment. He is saying, in that instance of once more, Lord, he will give us the faith to be transformed and taken with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb with eternal, immortal, glorified, and young bodies for all eternity. What do we have in our midst, brethren? What the church bride has in her midst is something great, where the power of God is being manifested once more. First is revealed word. which is the greatest thing. And then that manifestation will be seen through physical miracles, which were seen in that vision that God showed the Reverend William Branham. Once more, Lord, let us stand and let us sing a song. Fill my soul with your Holy Spirit. And in that way, we'll prepare ourselves to receive the message we have for today. Once more, Lord, fill my soul with your Holy Spirit. And with your Holy Spirit, once more, use me without limitations. In the message inspiration, Brother Branham speaks there about that Shunammite woman who had prepared something so that Elisha could come and rest. And she, notice, said, this little woman said, I believe. In other words, if I could put it like this, this may be drama. Husband, this is a goodly man that is speaking to her husband about Elisha. And something just tells me that I should do something for him. So, I'm going to ask you. You're the husband and the head of the house. So I'm going to ask you if you will permit me to have the carpenters to come and build just a little room there for this holy man. And somehow, husband, I think we ought to buy him a little bed and put it in that room. Wouldn't it be nice now? I just feel led to do so. Did you ever have that kind of leading? God leading, working in mysterious way, His wonders to perform. What if she'd have failed to do that? What if she had failed? There'd have been terrible badness and tragedy. But because she didn't fail and did as God led her to do, there was blessings and joy. See? Do as the Holy Spirit says. What the Spirit says, do quickly. The Bible says, amen. Watch her now. She has a little room built, puts the little things in there, and every time Elijah would come by, he'd have a place to stay. So one day, along come Elijah. She was preparing for him, knowing someday that he would come. And the same thing will take place someday for those, here it is, those who are prepared and waiting for the coming of the Lord. He will be along someday. So, you better have a little place in here. Make it ready now. For that's the only thing that's going with him. This other, our houses, our homes, our land, our popularity, our flesh, our clothes, everything will drop and leave here on the earth. But just this that's on the inside will go with him. Get it ready. Prepare it now. Don't be deceived. I've stood by the side of too many dying people that thought they were right and found out they were wrong at the end. So, take a solemn warning before he gets here. Have a place prepared for him. Do you have it? Do you have that place prepared? Now let us see what condition he found it in. So along came Elijah, and the gate porter perhaps said, as you happen to have to know the Oriental custom as they do, how the men said, would walk and say, that is the one who welcomes him, now thou holy prophet of God, there is a place prepared for you here that my mistress has prepared, and she gives me the right to tell you to go in. You will find everything waiting for you. And I'll fetch a little water. You may refresh yourself. And soon as the baker or the chef gets the dinner ready, I'll bring you some roast lamb and some bread so you can refresh yourself. It is the kindness of my mistress. That is the church bride. Well, Elijah said, well, that's wonderful. Tell her I say thank you. He goes up, looks on the inside, and everything was so polished and clean. Oh, may God find us that way. That's the way Jesus wants to find you when He comes. Polished up, not with a lot of worldly stuff, but with the gospel that cleanses, with the gospel of the kingdom. Doesn't white wash, but it washed white. Amen. all cleaned by the purging of the Holy Spirit in your life. Won't you ask the Holy Spirit to come into our soul? Of course you will. He is the one who cleanses us and justifies us before the Heavenly Father, separating you from the things of the world. All things die and pass away, and all things become new. That is why, Lord, find us clean and pure before you, so that we can say, Lord, once more, use me without limitation. Fill my soul. Fill every corner of my soul. Fill every hiding place with your presence. Fill my soul with your Holy Spirit.
Lléname con tu espíritu en el alma. Quiero nacer en tu reino en esta dispensación. Dame de tu poder. Lléname con tu unción. Oh, mi reclamador. Lléname con tu espíritu. Alma, he recibido como mi reclamador, testifico con mi fe en esta confesión.
May your power be manifested without limitations, Lord. Therefore, once more shake this world, Lord. It has been a great blessing for me to be here in Torreon, in Saltillo, in Monterrey, enjoying on these days these moments of fellowship around the Word and His program. Do not be dismayed. We're almost there. Almost. Even less than that, I think. We're almost there, my brethren. Together, hand in hand, we will reach the promised land of the new body. It is a promise. Therefore, it is already ours. What is needed is for him to fulfill it when he finds that house polished, not with carpets that has been lifted up and dust swept underneath them, but everything clean, ready to receive that power in all its fullness. May God bless you, God keep you, and continue forward serving the Lord every day of your life, attending the activities that are held, and also working in the works of each congregation, of each place. We will also allow time. Some do it before starting the broadcast with Puerto Rico. They take time for some local announcements. Others do it after finishing the broadcast, because all the people are there, and it's fine for them to do it that way. They stay a few minutes after, where the pastor goes straight to the point. It's not that he stands up there to talk and preach, but to give their relevant announcements, and in that way, all the people knows what work need to be done during the week, because otherwise they would be lost during the week. So, he can give the announcements relevant to the work and goals he has there with the congregation. Everyone with reverence. And that takes a few minutes, no more than that. And then you can leave the auditorium. That's how you can do it in that way everywhere. In Puerto Rico, the Reverend William Perez makes the announcements. There in between, he announces the activities and some details regarding the literature that will be distributed. And that's it. But the whole group is already there. But you, and in the other countries, if it's best for you to do it afterwards, you can do so. Well, may God bless you, keep you. And what we want and desire is to serve him, and for him to be pleased by everything we do, and for everything to be aligned with his word. Well, let us leave with us. Oh, we are approaching our brother Miguel's birthday, whom we ask God to bless him greatly and mightily. And may he continue to be a great blessing for the entire church across the face of the earth. And God knows the times of each of his elect. We desire that Brother Miguel's time then be until his transformation. But remember, that is decided by God. So, we always desire the best, the maximum, for each elect. Because we love not only Brother Miguel, but we love each other. And we desire the best for all the children of God. May God continue to bless our Brother Miguel. May he rejuvenate him like the eagle. And may he continue to give him understanding, knowledge, wisdom of the entire divine program, which corresponds to this end time. I thank God, just as our brother William Soto Santiago thank God. I thank God that he is by my side, hand in hand, for one more year of his life, and with each and every one of you as well. Are you grateful? Can you confirm it with an amen so he can hear it? Again. Amen. All of Latin America.
Amen.
Thank God for the missionary Miguel Bermudez Marin. Thank you, Father, for keeping him by our side. with us in this subject once more, Lord, our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.